Well, welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this sixth day of September 2025. Welcome to those here in the room, those listening on the phone, and those joining us on the recording. And glad to be in fellowship with you once again. And before we get into our study book, who would like to open with prayer?
Thank you, dear Father in heaven, for this, your Sabbath day, that we can worship you without interference, that we can talk to you freely, we can let our heart's desires be known, and we can thank you with all the love in our hearts for being Lord of the Sabbath, and that we can fellowship one with another. Be with our speaker today as he speaks the words of truth, and may it find a home in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dearest. We're in the last chapter of Christ Object Lessons, titled, To Meet the Bridegroom. This is chapter 29. And we left off about a third of the way down on page 419 to the paragraph that begins, It is the privilege. And we'll find out more what that privilege is today. The last thing that we were discussing is that all of heaven's resources are contained within the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you want more of the blessings of God, if you want more of His grace and power in your life, more of His truth living in your heart, you need to be praying for more of the Holy Spirit. So God is not restricting heaven's blessings, heaven's resources from us, because they're contained within the gift of the Holy Spirit. So God is just waiting for you to ask for more, and He will give it. So that's where we left off last time. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. It is the privilege of every soul to be a living channel through which God can communicate to the world the treasures of His grace, the unsearchable riches of Christ. There is nothing that Christ desires so much as agents who will represent to the world His spirit and character. There is nothing that the world needs so much as the manifestation through humanity of the Savior's love. All heaven is waiting for channels through which can be poured the holy oil to be a joy and blessing to human hearts. So how much is heaven waiting for? Who is heaven waiting for? There is nothing so much as waiting for the agents. Let me get the underline here. Waiting for you and me to be channels through which can be poured the holy oil, the Holy Spirit, so that we may be a joy and a blessing to others. So So if you want to please Christ, then open your heart to let him in and become his agent, his representative, his witness to others. Any comments or thoughts before we move on?
I think of creation, God's everyday message to us of how much he loves us. His creation of trees that bear fruit, his creations of beautiful scenes, waters, clouds, they all remind us of God, and they're with us every day. And that's wonderful, a reason to praise God every single day for thinking of us. And we can show our love to him by telling others about the creation if they don't know, and about God who loves them, who is a creator of love.
And he did it all for us. How wonderful. What amazing love that he stores, keep, and bless us with.
Amen. So if you think about it, without the love of God being known, there's not a single human being who could manifest the true kind of love to others because of our fallen nature. The only kind of love that we can reveal to others is a selfish love, self-centered. It took God manifesting his love for us through the gospel of our salvation, through Jesus Christ, manifesting the character of the Father, that we now have an example of how to truly love. So if God kept himself away from us, which he had every right to do because we're the ones that chose to break his law. We're the ones that chose to follow the devil. So God had every right to withdraw himself from us and let us perish. We rebelled against him. But out of love, he came even closer to us so that we could see how to truly love one another. How to have a completely different kind of love that would fill us and then emanate, overflow to others. So without God coming close to us, this world would be so horrible to live in because everyone would be selfish. No one would be selfless. Everyone would want the highest place, and they'd be willing to kill others in order to get it. And so out of love for us, out of compassion, out of mercy, out of pity even, God came closer to us so that we could see his love and then become attracted to it, become so grateful for it. And then Christ carried out his part so that that love could find a place in our hearts. And then the Spirit comes in and cements that love in our hearts. So they gave us hope. They gave us love. So when you look at such an example as God and Christ and the Spirit reveals, and then you have individuals that may be close to you, but they treat you in a completely improper way, what are you going to do? Are you going to follow the example of God by trying to come even closer to them so that God's love can be revealed through you to them? Or are you going to be content to remain away, saying, well, they're the ones at fault. They deserve to be isolated. There's nothing I can do. Now, I mean, we're not to force ourselves upon anyone, but we are to reveal God's love for those who hate us, who are our enemies. We're to follow the example of God.
I believe that also the foundation of that, of being able to do that, besides just starting with our own personal walk and trusting and following the Lord, I believe that it also takes a practice in our own home. If we are not able to do that in our own home amongst each other, we will not practice that outside of the home towards those who do wound us or do something that is, you know, uncomfortable. We're not going to do it. I also look at that it also, when we're talking about the home, it is also the house of God too. If we cannot practice that in the house of God amongst each other, as what you were sharing, dear brother, we're going to be seen as insincere even by the world. It will show. We're going to be seen that we really have a talk, but we don't have a walk because we can't even do it amongst ourselves. So it starts from the home and it spreads out to the house of God, and then that flows to the community so that they can truly see, as the Word of God says, they will know that we have been with Jesus by our love for each other. If we have that, the Holy Spirit is invited in by the very actions that we are committing towards each other in humbling ourselves to each other, submitting ourselves to one another in the home and then abroad in the house of God and then in our community. So I see that it is an overflowing that begins from one in with our own personal walk to our home walk to the house of God's walk, and it just keeps flowing. If it is nurtured, it's going to flow out, and some will drink from the fountain that bubbles up from us, which is Christ, and some will not. Not everyone that is called is going to be saved. But that is not our position to make a decision of. We are to be living fountains of God and flow wherever He wants us to flow. And that's what I think is also the lesson in that too that you're sharing, dear brother.
Amen. Amen. 100% agree.
Sing. I find that when someone is being hurtful to someone else, try to imagine what happened to this person when they were a child. Were they mistreated? Did they grow up with enough love? What caused them to be the way they were? And you pray and ask God to reveal the answers. And many times he does, and you find out that this child, who is now an adult, never received the love that they should have, that they were mistreated or they were abused when they were young. And it makes you look at them in a whole different way. You want to reach out and help them instead of strike back. And I believe that's how God helps us love others. Try to imagine them as a child and see if in your imagination you can find out with God's help how were they treated. Did they find love?
Yeah, amen. Amen. So that means you have to forget self in order to focus on how to help the other. And so it reveals there's only two kinds of fountains that every human being can have one of. It's either a fountain of selfishness that's going to push everyone away, or it's a fountain of God's love that's going to bring everyone closer. And of course, Christ is the center. So which kind of fountain do you ask for each day? Do you just automatically default, right? You don't ask for any particular fountain, so you default into the selfishness? Or do you plead with God for his love to be a fountain within you? If you ask for it, God will give it. There will be a change. But if you don't ask for it, you automatically don't have it. You may have it yesterday, but that doesn't mean it's going to be yours today, because it's a daily bearing of the cross of crucifixion of self. It's not automatic.
It's very important. By learning, when Christ selected his disciples and trained them and gave them the insight to know about his love and how he was willing to go to the extreme, which he did, to give his life for them. And they realized in the end how they were supposed to live like Christ lived. So it's very, very important of the company that you keep, the company that you walk with, the company that surrounds you, that wouldn't have an heavy influence upon you. And this is where the comforter that Christ left for each and every one of us to guide us and to give us what we need. Even sometimes we don't know that we need to have the love that Christ brought for each and every one of us.
Amen. Well, let me ask a question. Why is all of heaven waiting for us to be channels of blessing? Why is all heaven waiting?
The verse that comes to me, dear brother, is that it's the one that can that talks of all creation groaning, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God in us and daughters, obviously also in us. So I may be off in that, but that's what comes to my mind. They're waiting for Christ to be fully revealed inside his people. And that is a process that has unfortunately been taking quite some time. So there is a work for us to do in order to hasten that. And the Lord, I believe, is giving us in whatever sphere of talent or ability to exercise what we can to hasten it in our little areas, or if it is in a broader area, in a broader area. But we can, all heaven is waiting for us to diligently pick up our cross, put our hands to the plow in every area that we're called to, no matter how minuscule it may seem to us or how grand we are called to. In each thing, it's to humbly do so with joy. And I believe all of heaven is waiting for that to happen so that the Holy Spirit can be poured out in great measure, and that light can burst forth of truth in great measure. And it's just this great, I don't know, I get overwhelmed with words about that. So,
yeah. Any other thoughts or comments?
When I was a child, I found a verse in the Bible that I thought was just perfect for my anger. And that was a verse that said we should heap coals of fire on our enemy's head. And to me, that sounded like really a good plan to get even with whomever was causing me problems. And then I found out that heaping coals of fire on someone's head meant something totally different. It meant showing them love. And how do you jump from heaping coals of fire, something that sounds like it's going to burn them, to something that shows them love? I had a chance at work one time. There was a young man who was related to the owner of the company, and he was put in charge of the unit in which I was working. And he had a lot to learn about how to manage people. And a lot of people didn't like him. And he had caused me some problems along the way. But that verse came to my mind, heap coals of fire. And this young man and his wife had their first child. And I thought, what better way than to get a gift for his child? So I went to the front office and into the back offices where I worked, and I suggested that we take up a collection and get something very nice for his new baby. And we did. We got him a sterling silver cup, baby cup with a name engraved on it, along with a little spoon and fork. And later on, he found out that I was the one that started the collection. And he said, "Why did you do that? Why?" because I haven't treated you very nice. And I told him, you know, it's a new life coming into the world, and we must show this new life love. And in showing love to the new life, we're showing love to the life givers. And that caused such a change in this young man's attitude towards me. And it truly was proving that verse, heap coals of fire on your enemy's head, because he turned out not to be an enemy after all, especially when there was a change in me. And that's the crux of it. There's a change in you.
Amen. Any other thoughts, dear ones?
You know, I don't see a lot of love in the Adventist church that people leave. And it's terrible to have that people don't stay in the Adventist church too long.
That's true, dear sister. And the more individuals that recognize the problems and come out, there's greater hope that they can be saved.
And you know, it's terrible to have the truth and people leave and they don't want any part of it when they witness and see that. And it's enough that we're going to church a different day and people have a problem with that. That's terrible.
Understand. It reveals what kind of love they have in their hearts. And that's what we're discussing here. Any other thoughts or comments, Stuart?
Yes, I would just like to share this with a dear sister. And please forgive me, dear sister, if I don't remember your name. It's an encouragement also, though it seems so sad, that the Lord is working, for this is a shaking time for all of us. And in that situation with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they are not what they were. And the Lord is calling his people out. And sometimes it is, as you said, people will leave and they will really walk away. But those that cause them to truly walk away from the Lord will hold them accountable. But the Lord is also calling his people out into the wilderness of faith with him. And that's where the excitement begins too. So, yes, there is a sadness, but the sadness started a long time ago, Sister Chaka. And by God's amazing and wonderful grace, though we cannot understand how the wheel within a wheel is turning, we can see that by prophecy, the hands are there guiding everything along the way. So we pray, and we pray, and we continue to walk forward, following the shepherd whithersoever he goeth. And as the path gets narrower, it's going to get more difficult for everyone. But the Lord knows those that are his, dear sister. He knows them. So when they're coming out of that, unfortunate now it's a cage of every unclean bird. They're coming out of that. By God's grace, we pray that they don't fall completely away and they hear the Holy Spirit calling them to stay on the path, and he will guide them. For the word of God says, they shall be taught of God. So if they're humble and they listen, they'll be taught. And we, as his children and soldiers in this fight, we pray. Stay on our knees in our heart. Stay on our knees on the ground if we can, but we pray for them. Because what we're looking for, in my understanding, is the Lord's return. And this very painful operation is a necessity for that to happen. So we praise God, and at the same time we can weep, but we give God the glory for the work he's doing.
Amen. Amen. So all heaven is waiting for the end result, which is the second coming and the end of sin. But that's the end result, not the beginning. The beginning is you opening your heart to be a channel through which the Holy Spirit can fill you, plant Jesus on the throne of your hearts, and you can then be a joy and a blessing to others. So the end result, the second coming of Christ, begins with you. It doesn't begin with the pastor. It doesn't begin with the elder or the deacon. It doesn't begin with the home church. It begins with you opening your heart to let Jesus in. So the second coming depends upon you and me and others giving our hearts to Christ and letting him live within. Instead of self being on the throne, now Jesus is on the throne of the heart. That brings on the second coming. If you keep your heart away from Jesus, you're delaying the second coming. So all heaven is waiting for you. And that's quite a revelation to think about. So often, individuals believe that the work of letting Christ into the heart and being a channel of blessings for others and spreading the truth is upon the evangelists or upon the coal porters or upon the pastors and the ministers. So they can just sit back. They can partake of the bountiful blessings that are provided for them in church service or perhaps on video or in a track and let others do the work. But here we see that the second coming depends upon channels, plural, not channel, singular. It depends upon individuals. In the sanctuary, there was more than just one light that illuminated the holy place. That candlestick had seven branches. Didn't have just one big branch. So heaven is waiting for channels through which the Holy Spirit can be poured into and a transformation of the life occurs. And they can then reveal Christ to others and let their light shine for him. So the second coming depends upon you and me and others giving our hearts to Christ daily, bearing our cross of self-crucifixion daily. Otherwise, the second coming is going to be delayed. It's already been delayed 120 years longer than it should have been. And it will continue to be delayed until individuals recognize that upon them depends the quickness of the second coming. Yeah, amen. Comment in the room says it's like being branches of streams from one mighty river of life. Amen. That's a great object lesson there, brother. Any other thoughts or comments?
Is the Adventist Church, I'm sure, probably not the only church maybe where you can find it not being probably loved, and maybe, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's every church. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That means all denominations. So it's every denomination out there is following Babylon, part of Babylon. The synagogue of Babylon. And that's why God is not using groups to finish his work. He's using individuals to finish his work. Any other thoughts or comments, Dermot?
The song Brighten the Corner Where You Are comes to mind.
Yeah, that's a nice little song. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Christ has made every provision that his church shall be transformed bodily, illuminated with the light of the world, possessing the glory of Emmanuel. It is his purpose that every Christian shall be surrounded with a spiritual atmosphere of light and peace. He desires that we shall reveal his own joy in our lives.
Amen. Amen. So Christ has made every provision. That means everything is ready. There's nothing lacking. That his church shall be a transformed body. Now, is this talking about a denomination here? His church, is it talking about a gathering together of individuals worshiping God at the same time?
Dwelling place, if we allow it. His temple is within us.
Amen. We become a part of the body of Christ by joining him, not by joining a denomination, not by fellowshipping in a church group. We become part of his body by joining him. Amen. Living stones, right? We, by joining ourselves to Christ, become his church. We're individually his temple that he dwells in. His law is written in our heart. That's where the most holy place was, where the law of God was found there in the ark. We become the dwelling place of the Most High. So when it says here, Christ has made every provision that his church, that's you and me individually, shall be a transformed body. That's all the believers that are connected with Christ, making up his temple. All of us are to be transformed in body. But a lot of times, individuals are trained to view this as a denomination. So they believe they have to be part of a denomination in order to become a transformed body. And thus Christ is shut out. The old covenant was you had to go specifically to the one place where God dwelt in order to worship him. That was at the temple or the sanctuary in Jerusalem. But the old covenant is now done away with. We're in the new covenant where God dwells in those who have opened their individual hearts to let him in. So Christ has made every provision that you and others that are connected with Christ become transformed in body, illuminated with the light of the world, possessing individually the glory of God with us. So this isn't talking about a denomination. This is talking about individuals. It is his purpose that every denomination, is that what it says? Every Christian, that's individual now, shall be surrounded with a spiritual atmosphere of light and peace. This goes back to the previous paragraph. The channels, individuals. God desires that you will be surrounded with a spiritual atmosphere, not a worldly atmosphere. A spiritual atmosphere of light and peace. He desires that you will reveal Jesus in your own hearts, your own lives, with his joy. So it's not the denomination that's to be surrounded with a spiritual atmosphere of light and peace. It's not the denomination that is to reveal Christ's own joy within it. It's you that's to do that. And the only way for you to do that is to become that channel through which the Holy Spirit is poured into, so that Jesus takes the throne of your heart and you become a joy and a blessing to others. The second coming depends upon you letting Christ in and having that atmosphere of light and peace and joy. To affect all of others around you, family members, neighbors, friends, let Jesus come into your hearts. And this transformation will occur.
I'd like to say about letting Jesus come into your heart it's not let him come into your heart one time and then you say you have Jesus. Let him in every day, every hour, every minute. Let him into your heart.
Amen. It's a daily battle. But remember, Christ has given everything necessary for you to be victorious through him each day. That's a promise. Any other thoughts or comments, Jerwin?
Say something to my twin, but I'll let you all listen in. And I would like to say congratulations. How does it feel to be 88 years old? And aren't you glad that you let Jesus into your heart?
I was just thinking and going through this wonderful conversation. It's very nice to listen to my brothers and sisters letting me know how they feel towards the Lord. How much they are touched and inflamed walking their journey upon the righteous path, that they have no knowledge where it's leading to. They believe it's towards heaven. They believe that they have the opportunity to relive his second coming. So my dear twin, when I think of the mathematical sum of my age, I am amazed that I've reached this distance in this life, and I can feel the Lord igniting me within and to keep me in his vineyard to learn everything about why he created everything that exists. Without question and reason, I lay myself upon his love, and I try to allow that love to penetrate every inch of my being. And I practice every time that I wake up each morning, and I walk through the exterior of my living quarters, and I see the neighbors, and I see the children, and I listen to the barking of all the pets owned by my surroundings, and I feel his love demonstrated with an action that is so deep and wonderful. And I say, for all of us, what a blessing that the Lord loved us. From the newborn baby to the oldest individual like myself, and we can share with each other everything that we have received from him. Everything. That's what I have in my 88 years. So many chapters to recall. So many individuals that passed through my life. So many things that I had the opportunity of learning. At the beginning, did not understand, and here in my later years, I have become a Sabbath keeper. I never knew what that meant or what it was until I joined this group. And I feel so grateful that he has allowed me to learn more and more each day.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for bringing you to us, dear brother. You've been a blessing to others as well. And praise God for another year of life to you both, to both twins. So Christ has made everything ready for you and me to be transformed, illuminated with Jesus in the heart, so that we can be surrounded with a spiritual atmosphere of light and peace and love and his joy. So are you filled with the joy of Christ in your lives? Our dear brother was revealing some of that joy in recognizing that God had blessed this world with a lot of reasons to be happy. Is the joy of Christ being revealed from you to others? If not, asks for him to come in. Plead for this transformation from death to life, from darkness to light. Plead for it. And God promises to give it. Everything's ready for the taking. But you have to ask.
By the way, I wanted to say this. when I heard my twin sharing with the strength that I haven't felt from her since a long time, because I know she was going through difficult healing moments. But now I listen to her and I can feel her strength and her desire to share what she has learned and the blessing that she carries, because the Comforter walks with her. He guides her. And he gives her everything that she needs without her asking for it. And then what takes place? She speaks. And she speaks with a strength that is so strong for her listeners. It builds me up and makes me feel alive at 88. Alive. And very grateful.
Amen. Praise God. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The indwelling of the Spirit will be shown by the outflowing of heavenly love. The divine fullness will flow through the consecrated human agent, to be given forth to others.
Yeah. There's a lot in this paragraph, even though it's short. If you want to know if you have the Spirit in your heart, you can test yourself. If the Spirit is indwelling, if the Spirit is in your heart, this will be shown by outflowing of heavenly love to others. So here's a test. Do you have the Spirit dwelling in your hearts? If you do, it will be revealed by you manifesting heavenly love to others. So if you're not showing heavenly love to others, then that indicates the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in your heart at that moment. So when we don't see the outflowing of heavenly love from others to us, where should we look? Well, what should be our focus? How dare you? You're such a sinner. What should be our focus? Our focus should be upon ourselves. Are we manifesting heavenly love to them? If we're not, we don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But so often we're blind to ourselves. We see very easily the wrongs that others do to us, or perhaps do to others, but we're blind about what kind of spirit we're revealing to those around us. So here's a test that each one of us can perform on ourselves. If the Holy Spirit is not dwelling within us, then we are not of God. The only way that we reveal that we're of Christ is by the fruits of the Spirit being manifested from us to others. So God wants to make each human being the heart of every one of us to be the channel where divine fullness through the Holy Spirit flows through us. We have to be consecrated, right? We have to be devoted to God, not sometimes for God and sometimes for the world. God wants you and me to have hearts that are filled with His Spirit so that the divine fullness of love, light, joy, and peace can come through us and be given to others. And it all starts with the Holy Spirit. That's all of the blessings, all of the resources of heaven are found in Him. If you don't have the Spirit, you are not of God. If you do have the Spirit, then Christ reigns within. And this will be manifested to others. So the focus is on us individually. And what others do takes a second place. The primary focus is, do I have Christ and His Spirit dwelling within me?
When I was a child, my parents used to share things of nature with me. What I know now, I never knew then. But they used to use things to reflect and let me see about my surroundings. There were little, small little things that became very, very significant to me at a very young age. 7 years old. And I wouldn't forget that my grandmother used to say to me, "You are like a sunbeam, and look around you, and you will see little glitters of light in a dark night that glows." And then she would say, "Each of us are one of these." Then she refers to the firefly And everything that has light has life. And everything that has life has love. And the Lord made these small little particles to remind us of His love and bring us out of the darkness with the little tender light of a firefly at the sunbeam. What a wonderful station.
You had a wise mother, dear brother. And let's read one more paragraph before we stop. Who would like to read that paragraph?
The Son of Righteousness has healing in His rings, Malachi 4:2. So from every true disciple is to be diffused an influence for life, courage, helpfulness, and true healing.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So a lot of times when we read this promise in Malachi 4:2, we apply it to ourselves and to ourselves alone. The Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, has come to us with healing grace. And then we stop right there. We take all the healing, but we don't have a thought about trying to heal others. But Ellen White takes this verse and she applies it to others, from us. So if Jesus has arisen in your heart with healing, then from you is to be diffused this healing grace so that you will be an influence for life, courage, helpfulness, and true healing in the lives of others. So here's another test. We had the test of if the Spirit's dwelling within you, then you're going to do these things, right? Here we have another test. If Jesus is dwelling within you, then you will be an influence to others for life, courage, helpfulness, and true healing. Now, if you're causing strife, if you're causing strife, are you revealing Jesus? No, because strife is just the opposite of healing. Strife pulls apart individuals. That's not healing. That's dividing. So So again, the focus is upon us as individuals. Are we a cause of healing, courage, helpfulness, or are we a cause of just the opposite? Strife, anger, division, discouragement. So is the Spirit in your life? You'll act a certain way. If Jesus is in your life, you'll act a certain way. If you act any other way, then this reveals to you that Jesus doesn't have the throne of your heart at that moment, and you are not filled with the Spirit at that moment. But there's still hope, because Jesus is still your intercessor. He is still your high priest. He is still pleading his blood for your forgiveness, but you have to ask. He's pleading his blood for your cleansing, but you have to ask. And he's willing to send you every provision necessary for you to be transformed. But that won't be open forever. It's a limited time. And we need to make the most of that time. Yeah, the comment says it's like open enrollment, but there's a time in which enrollment stops. And if you're not in, then you're left out. Good point, dear sister. So next time, we'll pick it up at the next paragraph that starts out, "The religion of Christ means more." Find out how much more. And who would like to offer closing prayer?
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for these words of healing, for these words of life. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in this meeting. Thank you for being here with us. And thank you for your Sabbath day when all can meet in your name and share the love that you have given so freely for us. Be with us in the next meeting, and may our hearts be open to the truth from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us, let's take a 14-minute break and then return back here at 20 after 12 Pacific or 20 after 3 Eastern for our main church service.